is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. Matt Hill, Executive Director of the Douglas Timber Operators, back in, kind of a follow-up as we continue to cover different aspects of the long-term recovery from the Archie Creek fire, the Thielson fire, and the whole fire group that we've got around Oregon going on. Wanted to ask you, first of all, how much time you've been able to spend surveying the damage up the North Umpqua?
Thanks for having me, Kyle. I've been up there a few times, up Rock Creek, Steamboat area, the hatchery, just along the highway, so I've seen the full breadth of destruction up there.
One of the things to contrast, I've been getting a lot of questions as I'm at various places when people find out that I've been up there, is how varied it can be and how almost seemingly random some of the fire path was.
Absolutely. Wildfire burns in a mosaic pattern. It can destroy 1 acre and totally spare the next. And you see that in places like the Dogwood Motel, where the cabins look like nothing ever happened, and the old store right next to it's gone. Same thing up at Rock Creek Fish Hatchery. You know, the residences and office and hatchery itself are destroyed, but the Rock Ed educational building that DTO helped build is still standing.
Wow. As it has been a number of times that you've gone up there, I'm sure, especially in the area where they're taking out a lot of the trees, it probably looks different every time.
It does. I mean, this is a rapid triage to be able to get people up there, either traveling through there or to their homes or to logging operations. Things start from the road and go back from there. ODOT, loggers, others have to remove hazard trees hanging over the roads that can fall, that have fallen, and crushed vehicles. So it's still a very dangerous situation up there, but they're making more progress every day.
And our latest update from ODOT said of the 24 miles where it was really the biggest impact, they've gone through 22 miles, which is a lot in a short amount of time, but there's even a couple miles that they have really yet to get to.
They haven't gotten to some mileage of 138, but then you've got all these arteries coming off, like Rock Creek Road. You've got areas that are totally closed, like the Swiftwater Park area, the BLM area over there, and some private drives as well. So there's a lot more work to be done, but hopefully the highway gets fully cleared.
We saw a lot of quick movement, some by organizations that were already in place, maybe for basically other purposes. And then we saw some things just happen real quick with Glide Revitalization, Glide Strong. DTO's been doing a lot of things, United Way, there's other organizations. What's your take on what you've seen as the community and even people from beyond this area are trying to help out?
I mean, this community always shines when it comes to helping people in need, in this case, the evacuees from the fire and the long-term damage up there. You know, we can really put all of these efforts into short, mid, and long-term categories. I was up at Glide yesterday with Glide Strong and those folks, and that's the front line of relief. I mean, that's where people are literally going in each day to pick up cans of beans, bottled water, for dinner. They're living out of RVs and in people's driveways or at a county park or something like that. So there's still very much an evacuation immediacy being addressed up there. Midterm, you know, looking for places for people to live for the next year or two or more, depending on if they're able to rebuild, if they're able to stay in the area. Glide Strong, I know, is doing great work trying to link people up with housing opportunities. And DTO, my organization, we're helping financially wherever we can with people who were hit particularly hard. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to be rolling out a jobs website to let people know what jobs are available in our industry in this area. And just give people more reason and more ability to stay here and rebuild their lives.
And I know you mentioned last time that a lot of your members, different companies, it really dug deep and helped you out to have that financial pool to draw from.
Yeah, we Douglas Timber Operators, in cooperation with Umpqua Fisheries Enhancement Derby, started a fire relief fund fairly quickly after the fire began. The goal of that is to provide direct relief to these families. Some of our members stepped up in very big ways. Swanson, Rosebrook Forest Products, Cow Creek Band of Umpqua Indians, and many other timber companies and logging companies, as well as just regular citizens who entrusted their contribution to our organization to make sure it gets to the right place. We've raised quite a bit of revenues, and it's going out as quickly as it comes in, and getting to where it needs to go. And I really want to thank everyone for being able to help with that. And we're interfacing with Glide Strong in particular to be able to help them help people as well.
What's it like to meet with some of these families?
It's hard, especially if I've only seen their name and haven't met them in person, or I knew where they lived but never knew them and saw their house afterwards. And it's hard. It's hard to see an elderly couple walking through a middle school gymnasium with a shopping cart, trying to figure out, you know, what they're going to be eating for the next day, or how long they're going to be in that situation, or if they'll be able to rebuild, or people going through a lot of very difficult decision making. And so it's hard to see, but it's also very heartening to see all the people, volunteers, county agencies, federal agencies, other charitable organizations stepping up and really doing everything they can to help these people out.
It's got to be a lot different. I was just thinking, contrasting what you've been doing when you meet with these folks. You're used to meeting with people, you're used to doing a lot of things in your former job in Washington, D.C. This is two different worlds.
Yeah, I think in D.C. You're waiting for people to come to you asking for help, and here, you know, DTO and other organizations are going to the people and saying, how can we help you?
What about your members in terms of, I'm guessing that some of these companies have got employees that were impacted, and also just trying to work through that, but also look ahead a little bit to their own timberland.
Yeah, so certainly employees of you know, many of our timber companies were impacted, and not just in this fire. They're, you know, Swanson's got a mill in Springfield, and some of their employees were impacted up on the Holiday Farm fire. And I know some companies, you know, have internal processes of helping folks get back on their feet. Here, you know, we had people up in the Archer Creek fire area that were impacted, even former employees, you know, retired mill workers or independent loggers who still work with our companies. So it's you know, we're definitely trying to get those people back on their feet, and part of that is the recovery effort for recovering these forest lands and getting them stabilized, recovering whatever value from fire killed wood we can, and then getting trees back in the ground to restabilize that soil, regrow the crop, and keep jobs coming in the future.
And what about the fact that all these trees are coming down now? Where are they going?
So if you drive on Diamond Lake, you know, Highway and up to Glad, you'll see black logs on logging trucks coming down the road. They're going to mills. They're being processed. I know Rose Creek Forest Products is already taking salvage logs and turning them into 2x4s that are then going back to build homes somewhere else. And someday those logs will be used to rebuild homes up in Glide and Idlewild and up the river. So it's a sadly ironic cycle, but it is good to see recovery of that. The private landowners are working very quickly to get that value out. The logs deteriorate extremely fast. Bugs and other things get in there and eat up the wood, deteriorate the wood, and you really have a year, maybe two if it's a cold winter, to be able to recover anything from them.
I would imagine as well that maybe given how the fire went through an area that you may not be able to salvage all of the log, it may be part.
Well, some trees, you don't know if they're dead yet, too, and they may look alive. There may be a green top, but they were so stressed in the fire that they probably will die, and so you have to make those decisions as well. The scale of these fires is something also to consider, is that, you know, our fire here was very large, very destructive, but there were several more across the state. We estimate about 15 billion board feet were killed. Board feet of timber, that's the equivalent of about 1 million homes worth of wood. So there's going to be a fast race to get that out before it rots. But it burned up decades worth of inventory for mills in the future. So we have to figure out how to get fill the gap there, and the BLM and Forest Service are going to have to be part of that solution.
So then you might have, in the short term, an increased supply going to mills, but up the road, it's going to be maybe decreased for a while, depending on various practices.
Exactly. There'll be a glut of wood coming out right now over the next year. The private forests will be producing their logs, and then whatever comes off the federal land, I expect not a whole lot. Primarily along roads, you know, these hazard trees and rights of way and those types of scenarios. But remember, a lot of the area on federal land that burned in these fires was under some type of statutory or administrative protection for, you know, setting it aside for owl habitat, which of course it isn't anymore. Wild and scenic river corridors, wilderness areas, places like that, and they're devastated, but they're still off limits to some of these recovery efforts. So even if the private lands take all of their dead wood and get them out, there's still going to be thousands and thousands of acres of standing dead wood left on federal land, and some of that reburned in this fire from previous fires.
Do you think there'll be any move on the federal level because of this type of situation and the other ones around Oregon to, at least for the short term, make a change in policy to get some of that out?
Well, I hope the conversation certainly takes place. And unfortunately, it usually takes major catastrophes like this, and particularly when people and structures have been destroyed, to have that conversation. And the other conversation is, what do we do to prevent these types of events in the future? And that's a harder debate. Certainly, you know, there's no shortage of ideas and positions on it, but, you know, forests consist of fuel, and we can't change the weather, we can't change the landscape, but we can change the fuel loading and potentially how fire behaves in the future, and I hope people take a serious look at those discussions.
Matt Hill, Executive Director of the Douglas Timber Operators, back in a moment. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1248 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Able to get the work done before things start regrowing on the land, and you also have to deal with invasive species concerns. The hardest part of this is going to be for small landowners, people who had, you know, a couple acres or less, that aren't in the business and aren't used to doing these things. And so we're working with OSU Extension and trying to get information out to people who may not be professional foresters or don't have those kind of resources on what they need to do to be able to rehabilitate their land and protect it from further damage.
Let's go back to when the fire was taking place, and it's interesting to note, I was following the California wildfire situation early this morning on our national program early, and they were talking about one of the fires down there that is smaller than what Archie Creek ended up being, but it's over a longer period of time, and you've got wineries and things like that have been impacted, and other areas of agriculture down there. And I was just thinking, they were talking about what people were doing in that area. You had mentioned along the way that when this happened, it was so quick that a lot of folks from private industry dived in real quick.
Yeah, I mean, this fire was an explosion. It burned over 100,000 acres in just over 24 hours. That's highly unusual. You've got a fuel situation coupled with those high east winds that just carried it very quickly through the crowns of the trees. Fortunately, you know, the way the land ownership was out there, you know, we had a lot of people and equipment out there on the land that could help build fire lines to hold that western flank. You know, here on Archie Creek, we had over, you know, 236 private industry personnel out there fighting the fires with 125 pieces of heavy machinery. You know, that's feller bunchers, bulldozers, skidders, all these types of things that normally are used in logging operations, but here were converted into clearing fire lines and preventing the spread of the fire. It's far more people, far more equipment than were available on any of the other fires in Oregon, and I truly credit You know, those people that were out there before the big federal operation came in, those people protected Glide and Little River, and they deserve a lot of credit.
Have you been able to talk to others in the timber industry dealing with similar issues elsewhere in Oregon from their fires?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of industrial timberland was damaged. Like I said, about 15 billion board feet. So it won't just be an impact here. It'll be Oregon-wide in terms of mill production and logging activity. So we've never seen the magnitude of these fires cumulatively before. There have been larger individual fires, but not all in the same year. And this is a generational challenge at this point, which is how do you recover these lands? How do you get them back into being healthy, productive forests, whether it's for timber harvest or for spotted owl habitat or for fish or anything else, or just clean air? And then going into the future discussion of how do we prevent something like this? What can we do to prevent something like this in the future? And I'm ready to have those conversations.
And if people want to help out with what DTO is doing, what's the best way for them to connect with your organization?
If you go to DougTimber.org, there's a link for the Archie Creek Fire Relief, and you can quickly contribute. And all of the money that's donated there goes directly to folks impacted by the Archie Creek Fire.
Matt Hill, Executive Director of the Douglas Timber Operators, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kyle.
Tomorrow we talk to the FEMA official in charge of recovery for all the Oregon wildfires, Federal Coordinating Officer Dolph DeMont. He'll be on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.